This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Hamanyanga MD Dato Fashila Emran. Hamanyanga has a concession to procure, store and distribute pharmaceutical products and medical devices listed on the Approved Product Purchase List, or APPL, to government hospitals and clinics. Morning, Dato. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to you too.
Now, I understand that you have this concession that would end soon. What's happening there? How long will your concession last?
The current concession will last November this year. Well, this is a tough question. I know you're going to come here anyway. Okay, the situation is very, very, I would say that as Pharmaniaga representative, as a Pharmaniaga MD, I'm very confident that the government would look into extending the concession. Of course, we are very much hopeful that it will be extended anyway. And I believe that it is not, and based on the experiences and the track record that we are having, it is not an easy job for anybody to do it, because it involves directly to the public, to the rakyat. Okay, so this is pharmaceutical industry. What we are doing under this concession, you must understand, it is not like we are a reseller that everybody is saying. We are more, I would say that we are the facilitator, because under the concession agreement, we don't have rights to choose who are the vendors. All right. It is solely the Ministry of Health. You must understand that realistically what we are doing is making sure that whatever has been directed to us is being delivered. That is number one that you have to be. And for that, I am very happy to tell you the fact that we have met our KPI based on the concession agreement.
What are some of these KPIs?
Okay. As you are aware, in 2011, we took over from the previous management with a different set of concession. The previous concession, you are looking at 90 days delivery upon LPO issuance for Sabah and Sarawak, and 60 days for West Malaysia. And it has gone down to 7 days. From 60 days on the new concession that we are holding at the moment, and 10 days from 90 days in Sabah and Sarawak. Mm-hmm. So it is really high. You really have to do lots of things, you know, in order to meet that KPI. That is one of the, I think, is drastic in terms of the old concession and the current concession.
And can you tell us something about your margins? How much money do you make from the government?
I believe that I'm sure that you know we have got annual report, and we are reporting on a segmental. We do segmental reporting, you know, for the companies that under Pharmaniaga Berhad, and you can take a look at it. In fact, if you look at the PBT, the contribution is only 1.6 to 2% for the logistic business for the concession.
1.6 to 2% margin.
Yes, that is the contribution to the bottom line. So we have other businesses. We have the manufacturing. We have our private sectors. We have a very good business in Indonesia. So the concession is contributing a maximum of 2%. Bottom line, it actually contributes to the top line of ours.
Margins aside, which you say is very thin, but there have been some analysis by various parties. In fact, MP of Klang, Charles Santiago, asserted that the Malaysia's prices of drugs is between 30 to 180% higher than other countries. In fact, Health Minister Dato Sri Zulkifli Ahmad has quoted as saying that they want to impose a kind of price ceiling on the drugs. Why do you think that drug prices are so expensive in Malaysia?
Okay, if you talk about us, we are generic players. We are very competitive. In fact, if you had gone through some of the statements made in a newspaper by some people from the Ministry of Health, you realize the fact that they also admit the fact generic are quite competitive. The one that we are having... we cannot control is the originator product. This is what I think we are trying to see, or the ministry is trying to see, how best that they can assist the rakyat in terms of the product from the originator. I give you a very good example. Do you know Hep C? hepatitis C, all right? At the moment, if you are being diagnosed with Hep C, I think the treatment will cost you in the region of $100,000 per yep. treatment. It's a 12 weeks treatment. So what happened is way back recently, the Malaysian government has actually invoked the compulsory licenses in Malaysia. We have become the... It's quite historic, actually, because Malaysia made it a historic decision by becoming the first country in the world to grant compulsory license that removes patent barriers for Hep C treatments. Okay, so this government initiative is supported by Pharmaniaga, DNDi, and Farco Pharmaceuticals. We aim to drastically reduce treatments costs by more than 90%, making it more affordable.
Okay, all right? that's all well and good. But the question here is that whether there are some bottlenecks within the supply chain that keeps prices up. For example, fine, you mentioned one specific drug, which is for hepatitis C, but we're talking about the overall healthcare budget in Malaysia and specifically with pharmaceuticals that you're mm-hmm. dealing with. And the tendering process is something that is under the spotlight because it needs the use of a middleman, right? A tendering agent like yourselves, where all the tenders for MOH goes through. Is this something that is pushing up the prices of drugs in Malaysia?
I do not think so, because you see, like me, for example, I would not talk about the open tender. I'm going to talk to you about the EPBL. No, because I think this is the best. This is the best examples, you know, to just deny the fact that when we do the process of tendering exercise, we do open tender. It is within the system. We do open tender. We do e-tender. And for example, one particular generic product, you can have five bidders. It can be local generic players as well as importers.
Okay,
all right?
Sorry, Dato. I don't mean to interrupt you, but before we go on with the other discussions, why do you need an agent? Why do you need a middle person? Can't the MOF, not the MOF, but the MOH go directly and buy these drugs? And what is the purpose of the agents? Can the government do it directly?
You must understand the fact that the situation was way back in 1994 when the government started to privatize, you know, the Makmal Ubat Malaysia. So what happened is that, you see, hospital is a very busy place. When you have to deal with many, many buyers, like for example, we are handling more than 100 vendors, all right? And the hospital, you know, they have got a store that receiving the products, and you know, to receive from one and to make sure that they can mitigate all problems with only one supplier, like for example, Pharmaniaga handling 100 over vendors, and you deal only with me. You will deal with me if there are product expires, any issues, adverse reaction on the products, make sure that it arrives on time. You will be dealing only with one particular supplier, and you can handle everything, and we are handling everything to make sure that no shortage and no wastages. So in fact, the government can save more money, you don't even have to waste time handling it with many suppliers. You see, when you handle, not all suppliers are performers. You must understand that, you know. So what we are doing is to mitigate all issues at one-stop center.
We're speaking to the managing director of Pharmaniaga, Dato' Fashila Emran, and we'll continue with the conversation after this. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, and this morning I'm talking to Dato' Fashila Emran, MD of Pharmaniaga. And earlier on, Dato', we were talking about whether there are bottlenecks within the industry. And I find it hard to believe that you need an agent to go between. And the numbers also show that you're like one of the only one compared to a free-for-all competition kind of thing. Because looking at your revenue, right, like your local revenue of around $1.4 billion, you're supplying almost 40% of
34.5 to be correct.
All right, 35.5. 40%, right, of supplies to the MOH. Do you think that is too big and the government should open this up further?
You're talking about us supplying about 35 to 40%. It is not us who's supplying it. We have what? Like I said earlier, we are arranging for 100 over vendors to supply it. So you must understand.
But 35% is going through you. That's what
yes.
I mean. So would there be opportunities for leakages, for example, if so much goes through one agent?
This is where you have to understand very well. You know, in the concession agreement, there are many, many things that we have to do. Not to just... I really have to correct the perception, lah. You know, you think the government identify, we buy and we sell. You're very, very wrong about that. You know what is happening is that the government identifies who are we supposed to procure from. We do the procurement. We make sure that we have the stocks. We are actually do a stock holding to make sure that all the stocks are available. You must understand how it works. It's not where the money is coming from or how much percentage that the money is, contributes to the revenue.
How much technology goes into this kind of thing?
A lot.
Like inventory management.
A lot. We have invested in infrastructure. We have, you must have a very good infrastructure because you are delivering door to door. You have, you must have a good technology, you know, to make sure that you do delivery on time. You know, you apply JIT, you must make sure everything is in order. You have to, you see, I tell you a very, something behind that, you know, instead of you just focusing on the revenue, can you focus on what we are doing to assist the public, you know, to assist the riot?
I pay taxes as well, right?
Yeah,
I want to focus on that, but I'm looking at it from a very holistic viewpoint.
Yes.
And recently, we also launched My Salam as well. And, you know, the public is sort of craving for details and more information.
Yes.
And this is something that we're craving from you as well. And now I want to quote something from the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, which is a think tank in 2018 that recommended the government review Pharmanaga's role in the public healthcare system. And there are similar views from Pharmaceutical Society in Malaysia as well, asking for a review of your position.
That is why I'm telling you, I wish to advise, you know, that you must understand what we are doing. We are not a reseller. We have to do more. We have to do more than that. We have to do. We have to make sure that the vendors are being taken care of. We have to make sure the stocks are there. We have to make sure that we deliver door to door. I want to talk to you about a very good example. Okay, when you talk about delivery, we deliver to the remotest area. All right. For example, do you know where is Daro?
No, I don't.
It's one of the remotest areas in Sarawak. So we really have to deliver to that place. And if you want to deliver to that place, you have to take the boat, you have to take the sampan, you name it. We have gone through a lot to make sure a 200 ringgit worth of product is being delivered there.
This is kind of like the...
And the cost is actually about 1,000 plus. And we'll still do it. Why? Because the passion for patient that we have actually instilled in our people to make sure that we deliver.
How much does Daru contribute to your revenue overall?
No.
My point is that, okay, this is like the universal service obligation of the telco industry, right? Where the telcos are required to contribute to government so that everybody has access to telco service. So what you're giving is access to a small town, which is commendable, but the bulk of the spending is in urban areas, right? Urban hospitals and so on.
Yes, but you must always understand it is not that. What you are looking at is the bulk. You are looking about the perspective of the money. You're looking about the perspective of the revenue. But I am letting you know that the perspective of what we are doing in Pharmaniaga is more than that, what you are thinking, all right? So you must understand the aspect of making sure the accessibility of medicine. Are you saying that because of the contribution is very small at the remotest area, so you don't have to think about how to deliver
that?
No, I'm asking
whether the government should review this kind of concession agreement in which you have more than one-third market share with the government, and I'm asking the question of whether we can sort of cut the healthcare pie more efficiently through
a review.
What makes
you think that cutting it will make it efficient? What makes you think that we are not efficient?
I'm only asking the questions.
That is the reason.
I don't think anything, Dato. I'm just asking you the questions.
Yeah, now I'm telling you about, if you're saying that cutting the pie will make it efficient, I am telling you how efficient we are at this particular moment, all right? When you talk about efficiency, we made the KPI, all right? And the KPI, we made 97%, and the satisfaction survey shows that we are being favored because of the efficiency level. And you know, and it is not us who did the survey, it is being done throughout the hospitals and also to the remotest hospital, that they say that before we took helm of the management, it was very difficult for them to have access. But we have changed the mindset of the people and the public, you know, knowing the fact that we had been sending it and we have been very efficient in taking charge.
I'm part of a member of the public, and right at this point in time, I do not have a conclusive view about whether what you're doing is good or bad. But to be fair to you, I think this is a process that must be under review. Now let's turn our attention to your corporate performance. Your share price has tanked very sharply over the course of the past year, and also looking at your financial performance, revenue is sort of stable, 2.1 billion 5 years ago, and around 2.4 billion in 2018. But profits have dropped very sharply, have almost halved. What's happening here?
Okay. All right. Okay. Against the challenging global economic background, I must say, you know, that overall the performance is quite good for 2018. I am just wondering why people are not looking at the whole year perspective when you are actually making remarks.
I'm looking at 5 years. I'm looking very long term here.
Yeah,
5 years, your profits have been halved.
Okay. Just for your information, the previous concession and the current concession, we have to develop a PHIS system. All right. Pharmacy Hospital Information System, PHIS. Okay, so you must understand it involves a lot of technology investment. So we are investing in that particular technologies to make sure that the no shortage, no wastage is being implemented throughout the hospitals in Malaysia. So you see, this has actually made one of the reasons, you know, why we have a drop in the profit. But looking at long term, why are you looking only at the concession? Why aren't you looking at our manufacturing?
No, I've already moved to your overall financial performance.
So that's what I am saying. The concession, yes, all right. And we are actually beefing up with our new product in the pipelines. You know, for 5 years, I tell you, you have to look at Pharma Niaga as a sexy company.
As a sexy company,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, we are quite sexy and quite voluptuous.
I'll tell you what's sexy, all right? You know, your debt levels have moved up from almost a cash position 10 years ago, then moving up to, a mid-level debt level, and now debt levels are very high. And, of course, you have big operations in Indonesia,
yes. A big chunk
of your debt also comes from Indonesian rupiah, which is quite expensive.
Yes, but we know, and everybody knows the fact that Indonesia is whatever you may say, the purchasing power is very, very good in Indonesia, and we see lots and lots of potential. We have managed to increase our business, distribution business in Indonesia. Now we are among the top 10, and we are...
What kind of business is that? Is that a concession business?
Or? No, that's not concession. That is a private sector that we are having. It's a public listed company. For the past 3-4 years, we have managed to even declare dividend. We have done very well in Indonesia. We hope that we can do and strive better in Indonesia. We have already invested also in a plant in Indonesia, situated in Bandung. Of course, the first 2 years is a corrective measures. So we hope in like 2 to 3 years down the road, we will be better in terms of it will be booming for our Indonesian business.
Can I ask, what are the margins differences between Indonesia and Malaysia? I'm just thinking about Malaysia, right? Why can't the Indonesian model be replicated in Malaysia? And if you're making enough money out of the Indonesian model, can you extend it to here?
This is what you have to understand. The model is totally different in Indonesia and Malaysia. You see, in Indonesia, you know, if you want to export your products into Indonesia, you have to own a plant in Indonesia. Then only you can export the products to Indonesia. You see, you must understand, this is a pharmaceutical industry. It is not like a brick industry that you have it ready and you can actually export. This one, it will take a long time even for you to register a product. It will take about 24 months. You know, you can see everybody knows, within the industry, everybody knows product registration is very, very stringent, all right? So in Malaysia, anyone can export their products from any countries in Malaysia. So we don't do like, for example, we have got lots of Indian generics, okay? You don't say that the Indian who wants, the company in India who wants to export, or people who wants to become an importer of the generic products in, from India, they have to own a plant here. No.
Is there
but
a
in
potential,
Indonesia, it is different.
Is there a potential to enlarge your manufacturing operations in Malaysia? Now, Indonesia is half of your Malaysian revenue, and a lot of your Malaysian revenue is coming from the government, right? Is there a potential to establish a bigger footing in manufacturing of pharmaceuticals in Malaysia?
Of course we do. You know, we are working with TDA to build a...
How come the manufacturing earnings are so small in Malaysia?
You see, as I said to you, we are generic players, all right? You have got many generic players.
In Indonesia, where you have so much revenue.
Yeah, but you must understand, the population is different. We are talking about 30 million population against 300 million population. How do you equate that? So you see, even in Malaysia, we are embarking into everybody, you know, in a pharmaceutical industry. Everybody wants to have oncology plan. Everybody wants to try to do vaccine plan, you know, all those things. But, you know, you will realize, but this is this industry, it is not an industry where you can have things overnight. You know, even product registration will take you about 24 months. So it is an industry where you really have to be patient if you want to be involved in this industry. But I can tell you, the fundamentals of Pharma Niaga is very sexy, you know, and the future, you look at the future, is like I say, it's voluptuous. You have to look at it that way.
Well, tell me whether this is voluptuous. This is our health minister speaking, Dato Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, saying that he is proposing a price ceiling for drugs. Is that going to be sexy for your business?
You see, I am all out for a ceiling as far as...
Really?
Yeah. You know why? You must understand very well. What they are saying, that more and more product, we are generic players, all right? It doesn't apply to us, because once the patent expires, all generic companies will just float. We can have generics from $1 to $1.50 or $2, depends, all right? But if it is originator, the $1 to $1.50 or $2 could be $5 or $10, because you cannot compare between generic and originator. The one that you have to focus on, the originators, not the generic players.
So I understand that India, as you mentioned earlier, is a huge player in generics. Will the Malaysian generic manufacturers be able to compete with the Indians?
Okay. Do you know pharmaceutical PICS, Pharmaceutical Industry Cooperation Schemes? Malaysia is one of the members of PIC. We are PIC members. India, they are not PIC members. They are non-PIC members. You know, what is happening here? We are subject to the patent. So we have to observe the patent, and we cannot produce anything before patent expiry. But India, they don't. Today, they have new medication. They can do a reverse engineering. In about a month time or 2 months time, they would know the formula and they can actually launch it. You see? So that is the difference. We have to wait 15 to 25 years. So the one that you have to fix as far as the ceiling price is concerned is the originator.
So are we buying drugs from India? Because these are on-patent drugs which the Indians are producing. And are we buying the cheap drugs from India? So we're not doing that, are we?
We are not allowed to sell any patent, under patent products in Malaysia. So, you see, I'm going there. Now, just give me 1 second. You see, once the patent expires, you know, people like us, we will start launching it, our generic. By then, the Indian, the products from India can already come in. By the time that we try to do, we are doing the research and development, they have already been selling it for 10, 15 years. Their products are already stable, you see? So then, when the patent expires, they are ever ready to come and flood the market. But you must understand, in pharmaceutical industry, be it Pharma Niaga or any other pharmaceutical companies in Malaysia that produce the product in Malaysia, all right, you can be rest assured that you can trust all the local generics.
Thank you very much for your time and for joining us, and I wish you all the best, including to help the healthcare sector here in Malaysia. That was Dato Fashila Imran, MD of Pharma Niaga, joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barulah Bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.